This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, October 3rd, brought to you by Robble AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. USDA delays aid for almond farmers, Canada to test Salinas lettuce, and CDFA board to discuss fruit fly infestation. Delayed disaster aid frustrates Almond Alliance. The Almond Alliance is pressing USDA on a lack of transparency and delays in distributing disaster assistance for the 2022 crop year. In a letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, Almond Alliance President and CEO Aubrey Betancourt stressed that the urgency and gravity of this situation cannot be overstated. Widespread freeze damage combined with high input costs, supply chain disruptions, and limited crop insurance options have left many farmers vulnerable. To label the disaster response as inadequate would be an understatement, she argued. The USDA announced in May the emergency relief program would expedite the assistance, but almond growers have yet to get any details on a timeline. In stark contrast, the Wildfire Hurricane Indemnity Program distributed funds in under 2 months, noted Betancourt. Canada again targets Salinas lettuce. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency is requiring any romaine lettuce imported from the Salinas Valley to be first tested for a virulent E. coli strain. The temporary testing requirements will last until December 20th. Canada has set such standards over the years in response to outbreaks associated with romaine lettuce from the U.S., particularly California and Arizona. Fruit fly outbreaks, focus of CDFA board. The State Board of Food and Ag will survey the latest pest and disease challenges at its monthly meeting today. CDFA officials will detail steps taken to combat an alarming infestation of oriental fruit flies. Industry groups for almond, lettuce, tomato, and wine grape growers will take part in a panel discussion. Ahead of the meeting, CDFA Secretary Karen Ross noted that, quote, "It has been a challenging year for agricultural pest and disease issues." Board President Don Cameron pointed to climate change for exacerbating the issues, along with remnants of Hurricane Hillary and other unseasonable weather. The meeting will be held at CDFA's Sacramento headquarters and online. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Robble AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.robboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Robble AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Risk Management Agency launches Controlled Environment Insurance Program. The Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency is launching a new crop insurance program for controlled environment agriculture that will become available in the 2024 crop year. In a press release yesterday, RMA said the new controlled environment program will provide coverage for plants, cuttings, seedings, and tissue culture growth in fully enclosed controlled environments. The program would pay producers for losses when they're forced to destroy plants due to diseases under a federal or state destruction order. Risk Management Agency Administrator Marcia Bunger said in the release that the new program would provide new options to urban, specialty crop, and organic producers that grow in controlled environment facilities. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. Denial of petition seeking testing of pesticide formulations criticized. The Center for Food Safety criticized EPA's decision Friday, declining to conduct testing on the risks of pesticide formulations and mixtures. The denial of the 2017 petition means the agency will instead continue to focus pesticide testing and data narrowly on active ingredients while ignoring the real-world impacts of pesticide formulations and interactions, CFS said. In a statement, EPA's Office of Pesticide Program said additional testing, quote, would not in general provide a better picture of the risks of a pesticide product. The official response also cited the cost to applicant and registrant of testing 18,000 formulations. The response also cited cost associated with using of animals for toxicity testing. It is estimated that the testing battery would result in testing on approximately 5,000 to 7,000 animals per formulation for the requested human health toxicity testing and around 9,000 animals for both human health and ecological toxicity testing, EPA said. Baldwin and Capito praise STB reciprocal switching proposal. Senators Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia yesterday praised a recent reciprocal switching proposal from the Surface Transportation Board, calling it an appropriate next step that will improve rail service. The two senators sent a letter to Surface Transportation Board Chair Martin Oberman that the rule, which would allow shippers facing inadequate rail service to use a competitor on their typical provider's tracks, was, quote, long overdue, noting their concerns about service challenges that shippers have faced on rail networks in recent years. We simply cannot afford to have widespread rail service disruptions upending operations for thousands of rail shippers, they wrote. Given the recent trends of poor rail service, now is the time for the board to move toward a final rule. DOE official confirms flexibility on SAF ratings. The biofuel and airline industries continue to wait on the Treasury Department to issue some critical guidance that will determine which feedstocks can qualify for a new tax credit for sustainable aviation fuel. But an Energy Department official confirmed that the GREET model favored by the biofuel industry will be one of the options. Speaking at an SAF conference in Houston yesterday, DOE's Jim Spaeth said the industry will have an option of the GREET model and a model developed by the International Civil Aviation Organization that is considered less favorable to agriculture. Both models will be options to use, whichever works best for your particular pathway, said Spaeth. He's manager of the System Development and Integration Program in DOE's Bioenergy Technologies Office. By the way, the guidance was supposed to be released September 15th. But industry representatives say it now may be the end of the year at the earliest. Well, here's today's He Said It. California growers can no longer afford to be subjected to short-sighted water policies that are not based in science or economic reality. That Western Growers President and CEO Dave Puglia applauding the incorporation of voluntary agreements in a report for the State Water Board's Bay Delta Plan. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, October 3rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.